The epistle for today, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and throughout all and in us all, who is blessed forever. Amen. Please stand for today's Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, "Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, "What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "David's." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool.' If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one could answer him a word, neither did anyone dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A while back, we saw that in the story of every man's life, there are three phases. The story starts with childhood, then comes adolescence, and then that story ends with adulthood, with the period of crisis separating each phase, a period of transition or crisis. So the transition from childhood to adolescence is undergone, and then there's the transition from adolescence to adulthood, when one leaves the protection of home and experiences his first freedom. So when the crisis of transition from childhood to adolescence occurs, will that adolescent person stay out of sin? Well, if he has learned temperance, for example, with regard to the pleasures as a child, he will handle adolescence without sins of the flesh if he's learned temperance before that. When the crisis of transition from adolescence to one's first freedom at leaving home and is out on his own occurs, will the new adult person stay strong in the faith? If he has learned obedience and faithfulness to duty as an adolescent, he will handle that first freedom away from home without straying from the faith. He won't be dazzled by the world. He won't be duped into a bunch of sins just because they're now available. He'll keep strong in the practice of the faith. How well one has been prepared in the phase before the transition will determine how well he handles the phase after. So, just as in that natural life, we can see those three phases, so in the spiritual life, there are three phases. Okay, they're called the age of the beginners, the age of the proficients, and the age of the perfect. Okay, the beginners have a newfound joy when they realize, you know, that eternal life is possible. They start on the way towards eternal life. The proficients have had some time where they are practicing the faith, and they're keeping out of mortal sin, and they are progressing in the spiritual life. And then the perfect, their wills are in perfect union with Almighty God. So, corresponding to those three ages in the spiritual life, there are also three great acts in the life of the soul. The first great act in the life of the soul is to desire eternal life. To desire eternal life. The second great act is to will the means to attain eternal life. It's different than just desiring it. You now will the means to get there. The third great act in the life of the soul is the enjoyment of eternal life. Okay, that comes in the next life. That's the act by which we'll be in heaven enjoying eternal life. So we've seen that there are three ages to the spiritual life corresponding to the three ages in natural life. and also corresponding to those three great acts in the life of the soul. And as a help to get us through those ages of the spiritual life, God has given us a special prayer. In the three mysteries that were given to Saint Dominic by Our Lady, the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious mysteries of the Holy Rosary, we have a mirror of the three ages of the interior life and of the three great acts of the soul. Think about this. The joyful mysteries recall the incarnation, birth, and infancy of our Lord. They mirror that age of beginners when one has the first joy at first starting to serve the Lord. There's a lot of consolations when one is serious about the spiritual life. Our Lord rewards that person with a lot of consolation for beginning to follow Christ. And this also corresponds to that first great act of the soul when one first desires eternal life and has that first realization that eternal life is possible for that person. In the sorrowful mysteries, we recall the suffering, death, and passion of our blessed Lord. So these mirror the age of the proficient in the spiritual life, in which the soul takes on the means to achieve that eternal life. That's mortification and accepting the crosses that we have, fulfilling our duties. In this age, the proficient person imitates Christ's virtues, especially of meekness, humility, and patience. And these were especially shown in our Lord's Passion, his meekness, his humility, his patience. And that's why they're the subject of the sorrowful mysteries. That's why they correspond to the means to eternal life. Taking up our crosses is the means to eternal life. This is the second great act of the soul. And then in the third set of mysteries, the glorious mysteries, we recall the resurrection, ascension into glory, and reception of the Holy Ghost. Well, this mirrors the age of the perfect in the spiritual life, in which there is perfect union of man's will with God's will. Okay, this perfection in the spiritual life with God's grace is possible, and it's indeed commanded by our Lord in Matthew 5:48 in the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, "Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And God does not command the impossible, possible with God. So we have these three sets of mysteries which mirror these three great acts of the soul. But if we have difficulty saying the rosary, we can take up some practices that could help us out. We might follow, for example, the example of St. Padre Pio, how he prayed the rosary. If we have trouble meditating on the mysteries, let's use St. Pio's example. He would pray the Hail Marys, focusing on the mysteries, but he would do so by placing himself in the context of that mystery, imagining himself there. And then as he said the Hail Mary, the first two words of the Hail Mary, he would imagine that he was greeting Our Lady in the context of that mystery, like greeting her present there. And then the rest of the meditation, the rest of the Hail Mary would flow from there. He would be able to focus on the mystery during the rest of the Hail Mary. And then he'd start again with the next Hail Mary, focus on Our Lady, greet Our Lady, and she would kind of help the thought through. That gives a soul to the body of our prayer. The words of the prayer are the body. The meditation is the soul. And remember that St. Louis de Montfort said that to pray the rosary without meditating or thinking about the mysteries is like leaving the body without a soul. So the rosary is the story of everyone's soul. It reflects the three ages of the spiritual life, which we should all go through to get to heaven. We have our first spiritual joy. We take up the means, that is our weekly crosses and sorrows, and we have the hope of attaining that eternal life, as we've seen in the glorious mysteries, and we have that hope of attaining perfect union with God's will, with His grace. So let us desire eternal life. Let's will the means to get there, that we may finally enjoy this eternal life forever with our Lord in heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.